I'd like to say good evening and welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. Tonight we have a fantastic speaker in the person of Brother Omari French. We ask at this time that you grab your Bible, graph paper, and pen, because it is of necessity at this time that you have an open heart and an open Bible. So I present to you in his own way, Brother Omari French.
We're thankful to the great God of heaven for the opportunity to be here. I want to thank my beloved brother and co-laborer in the gospel, Brother Anthony Flunder, also Brother Tommy Brooks, Brother Horace Stroud in Texas at the Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston. And we're thankful to labor with them in the gospel. This evening, I'm going to be speaking from a very significant subject that is actually going to implicate your soul salvation, persecution for what we preach. I'm going to call your attention to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Paul is making a very passionate plea to the churches at Galatia. We might remember in Galatians 1 and verse number 6 through 8 how he dictates that he marvels that they're so soon removed from the gospel and called unto another. We might remember in Galatians chapter 2 how he recounts being after at Jerusalem and going back to Antioch, and when Peter and several brethren came from James, they removed themselves from meeting with the Gentiles, and Paul had to rebuke them for not walking uprightly concerning the gospel. He shows about how the gospel has full force to the Gentiles in Galatians chapter 3 in a way that is consistent with what God proclaimed to Abraham, Galatians 3 and verse number 8. He shows the significance of Judaism to be able to embrace Christ in Galatians chapter 4 so that they should never revert back into Judaism and appreciate the new liberty that is in Christ Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 5, we have probably the most scathing indictment on Judaism and Judaizing teachers in the first century in the churches of Christ. And Paul says, if I'm preaching circumcision, then why would I be suffering persecution? There's an inclination in the first century church for Paul to suffer persecution because of what he is preaching. If he is preaching circumcision, the problem is that the offense that is associated with the cross has ceased or stopped. So in your minds this evening, we need to understand what we are to preach and what the offense of the cross is truly all about. Let's move in Scripture before coming back to Galatians 5 in the book of 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, in verse number 5. Paul there would say, we don't preach ourselves, especially in the churches of Christ. We never preach ourselves. We never preach our own intellectualism, our own ideologies, our own thoughts. Paul said, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and our servants are ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We are submitting ourselves to you as gospel preachers, but your humble servants, to show you what thus saith the Lord. And we would never dare to be able to proclaim or elevate ourselves. We are preaching Jesus. But how is Jesus to be preached? And why is the preaching of Jesus associated with persecution and the offense of the cross? We go back in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, where Paul makes this point so clear that we can all understand it. You might remember that Paul was actually not sent to baptize himself. He didn't want any fame that was associated with baptizing himself, because then the rumor would go throughout the lands that he was baptizing in his own name. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:17 that Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's what we are to preach, the gospel. But look at the explanation of how we are to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, at which point we put man's thought processes into the gospel message. The Bible says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The cross of Christ, in terms of what is preached, must have an effect. It can never be adulterated or mixed with the philosophies of man. The Bible says the proclamation of this gospel, the proclamation of this cross, is to them that perish foolishness. So if we lose our souls, it's because of how we regarded the message of the preaching of the cross. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Why would the Jewish mind have such difficulty with the message of the cross. Consider with me in the context of 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 22, that the Jews require a sign. They wanted power that was going to be associated with their leader. The Bible says the Greeks were struggling in reference to obeying the gospel because they were seeking after wisdom and the philosophies of man. But interestingly, Paul says, how we preach Christ. Again, they weren't preaching themselves. They were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the cross. But we must preach Christ crucified. And we understand what that is going to result in unto the Jews. That was going to be a stumbling block. It was going to be a rock of offense. It was going to be something that they were going to have difficulty getting on board on. And unto the Greek, it was going to be literally foolishness. However, for those who receive, the Bible says, unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is actually the power of God. And Christ here, contextually crucified, has to be the wisdom of God. And we're here to give some explanation as to what this means. The great summary of the Bible is that the gospel must include the message of how Christ suffered. If we look at the book of Luke, specifically the 24th chapter, as Christ is resurrected from the dead, consider with me as he opens the understanding of the scriptures to the apostles who are going to be his witnesses. He says in Luke 24, verse number 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, that were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He opens up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Here we have the great summary of what the Bible is all about. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. The three components of what constituted at that time the Hebrew Bible. And he says unto them, thus it was written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. The scriptures were to show man the foreknowledge of God, as God was conveying through the scriptures that Christ had to suffer. He did not just die. Christ had to suffer. And as he suffers, he is going to be risen from the dead because of the spirit of holiness, Romans 1:2, on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins is going to be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. The Jews had a stumbling block towards the crucifixion. They wanted a sign, and they wanted a demonstration of power. And the fact that Christ was crucified, 2 Corinthians 13:4, in weakness was a stumbling block, even in reference to their faith. Further in this context of Luke chapter 24, you might remember that he upbraids the two men on the road to Emmaus. The Bible says in Luke 24, 25, he says unto them, you are fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So all that the Bible was, all that the Bible is going to be encapsulated in these points. Ought not Christ, if you understand the Bible, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Christ was to suffer and then to enter into his glory. And then Jesus himself begins at Moses, goes through all of the prophets, and he expounds or explains unto them all of the scriptures concerning himself. What's the result, you might ask? Well, the Bible says in verse number 32, after he vanishes from their sight, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? We are simply attempting to open the scriptures this evening. And when we open the scriptures, the thing that we must see is the blessing associated with Christ and his suffering. Consider with me this point in the book of Acts, the 26th chapter. Through the message of the Apostle Paul, he's actually speaking to King Agrippa, explaining what transpired with the Jews. The Jews are trying to do what? Acts 26, 21, for these cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. This is why I'm suffering persecution. Do you know how easy it would be by way of convenience for me to omit the cross? That's what the Jews want to hear. But in omitting the cross, they cannot be saved. Paul said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So all that the prophets and Moses were writing was about what? Well, 23 says that Christ should suffer. If you understand anything about Moses and the prophets, they were writing about Christ and his suffering. The Bible says it was the spirit of Christ, 1 Peter 1, verses number 11 through 12, that was in them, the Holy Spirit testifying in the Old Testament scriptures that Christ was going to have to come and suffer. This is why we get these verses. Deuteronomy 21 and verse number 23, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. This is why we get the verses. Psalm 22 and verse number 18, as David would write, that they have casted lots for my vesture. This is why we get the verses. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10, they shall all look upon me whom thou hast pierced. Christ had to be pierced. Christ had to be hung on a tree. Christ had to suffer, because the scriptures were going to describe that Christ suffered, that he should be the first to rise from the dead and to be able to show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Look at all the manner in which Paul was willing to suffer persecution. Consider with me the book of 2 Corinthians quickly. Consider with me the 11th chapter as we begin to explain Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Paul would say, are they ministers of Christ? And then he says, I speak as a fool. I am more. I'm in labors more abundant. I'm in stripes above measure. They whip me for this testimony. I'm in prison more frequent. I'm in death oft. They are trying to kill me left and right to suppress this message. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I shipwrecked. A night in the day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils even among false brethren. They're trying to undermine this message. Contextually, in Galatians, they're trying to go back into circumcision, into the law of Moses. But what Paul had to remain preaching, despite all types of persecution that we can't even imagine, is the message of the cross. Because God chose, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, through the foolishness of preaching to be able to save some. And the message that is preached is the preaching of the cross, not the preaching of circumcision, not the preaching of animal sacrifice, not the preaching of anything that was a shadow to come, but how Christ suffered, and how Christ suffered and died on the cross. As we consider what must be preached, as we consider what must be proclaimed, we realize through the life of Paul the significance of sound gospel preaching. As we go back to the book of Galatians, we see how our Christian life must mirror the suffering that is associated with the crucifixion. Consider with me in the context of Galatians chapter 5, as Paul would say in verse number 24, they that are Christ have done something. They've crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts. I would submit to your thinking, if you don't understand the agony of a crucifixion, you will have no motivation to obey the gospel. And if you don't keep in mind the agony of the crucifixion, you are not going to have the catalyst that is associated with the Holy Spirit of how to live faithful. Paul would say in Galatians 6 and verse number 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. They want you to go back into the law of Judaism, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. But look at what Paul says about his disposition. He says, God forbid that I should glory. The only thing worth glorying in is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. This is so significant because the only thing worth glorying about in this life is the cross of Christ. Paul explained this about who was going to receive the gospel. He understood from the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and verse number 28, that the base things of this world, the things which are despised, that's what God has chosen. What is despised in this life? I would submit to you, suffering. That's why the Bible would tell us in the book of Isaiah 53 and verse number 1 about the suffering of Christ. The Bible says, who is going to believe our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He is despised. They hated him so. Crucifixion is a death of agony through asphyxiation. This is why the book of John, the 19th chapter, describes how the Jews were preparing for a high Sabbath day. And they did not want the body to stay on the cross because that would bring a curse to the land. He was crucified and numbered between two thieves, John 19:18, Isaiah 53 and 12. And the soldiers broke the legs of both thieves. Why break the legs? Because when you're pierced, in reference to your hands and feet, Psalm 22, and you're struggling to be able to receive oxygen, something that we do and breathe involuntarily, you have to push up as you are nailed with rails through a wooden instrument. In all trauma, you have to push up on your hind leg parts even in order to grab a glimpse of air. But if your legs are broken, you cannot push up as you are nailed in your hands and your feet, and you die instantaneously. They did this to the thief on the left. They did this to the thief on the right. But they come to Christ, and he had already given up the ghost. They had beaten him. They had spit on him. They had stripped him. And they had mocked him. Now, the Jews want no part of this as they want to continue in circumcision and the law of Moses. But this is the great ignorance of not understanding the Bible, because the scriptures were already clear that Christ had to suffer. The Bible says in the book of Zechariah, the 13th chapter, in verse number 7, I'll smite the sheep. I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. The Bible tells us in reference to Paul's message in the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, and specifically at verse number 27, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled the scriptures in condemning him. They fulfilled, verse number 29, all that was written of him, and they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher. Isaiah will go on to describe these things that are despised, that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, the humiliation of being stripped naked. They took a whip. Historically, they would call that a cat of nine tails. It had bone fragments and lead on it. And they whipped him, mercilessly tearing off of flesh. The hostility that is associated with the public shame. The Bible says we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But this is how he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Paul knew this, and this is why he said in Romans, the first chapter, in verse number 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He could have attempted to please all of these Jews by preaching Judaism, preaching circumcision, and trying to have smooth sailing and convenience in his life. But God is clear that he wants all men, 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 4, to be saved. And if he wants all men to be saved, the gospel, Mark 16, 15 through 16, has to be preached. And the gospel being preached is only through the apostles understanding the scriptures, Luke 24 and verse number 46, that they understood that Christ had to suffer in order for him to rise from the dead. And the Bible tells us, Luke 24, 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. I know that we run over that concept of remission of sins, but let's spend a little time on that. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter and verse number 22, the Hebrews writer makes a point, but almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. This is a discussion of Exodus 24 and the sprinkling of animal blood on the people and on the book for the purposes of consecration. But animal blood, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 4, cannot take away sins. Remission of sins makes reference to blotting out sin, having sin be eliminated in reference to the conscience. And so just like the First Testament required a sacrifice, Jesus Christ was going to purge our souls, not with the animal's blood, but with his own blood. And the Bible describes that blood, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20, as the blood of his cross. Christ suffered once, Hebrews 9:26. And that suffering was so sufficient that it was a suffering, Hebrews 10, verses number 10 through 14, once and for all. You see, Brother Flunder, where the remission of these is, which is sins and iniquities, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. He is the sacrifice once and for all, and that is what we preach, and that is what we proclaim. Paul is very clear that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, how they whipped him, we are saved. Because this blood was foreordained, 1 Peter 1 and 20. We are washed, Revelation 1, 5, in his blood. And this blood speaketh better things, Hebrews 12, 24, than the blood associated with Abel. And the Bible says it is by that blood that he is a mediator of a new and a better covenant, which is what we preach and is what we proclaim. The Church of Christ, even if you don't have any familiarity before this call, is purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul got the elders together from Ephesus at Miletus and said, take heed, Acts 20 and verse number 28, unto yourself and unto the flock, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so as we understand the blood of Jesus, we reach one biblical conclusion. This is already stated in the scriptures, Isaiah 28 and verse number 16 for your reference, Psalm 118 and verse number 22, I am going to lay at Zion a true and tried stone, a chief corner, precious, select, and whoever believes on him should not be ashamed. And so what they are preaching in reference to the apostles' doctrine is repentance and remission of sins in his name, because God has given him a name that is above all others. Why? Well, the book of Philippians 2 will dictate this. And this is why we preach Christ and him crucified. Even though it would not have been a robbery, verse number 6, for him to be with God, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of a man, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Jews wanted power. The Jews wanted a sign. But we see the Father
and it pleased the Father to bruise him so that we could be saved. There was a great earthquake as he gives up the ghost. The rocks were torn in two. The sun went black. The graves were opened. The very man who pierced his side, the centurion, said in Matthew 27 and verse number 54, "Surely this man is the Son of God." Our whole obedience in doing what he says is predicated on the fact that he is Lord. Because he died on that cross in that manner, God exalted him. God gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, even the invisible realm of angels which we cannot see. Christ has all of the preeminence. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We preach nothing more than what the scriptures say we must preach. We understand that for repentance and remission of sins to be proclaimed in his name, as the Bible would dictate in the book of Acts, the third chapter and verse number 18, those things which God has showed by the mouth of all of his prophets hath happened, hath been fulfilled, that what Christ should suffer. And Paul is saying this is what we must preach. This is what we must proclaim. I'm not preaching circumcision. I'm not preaching keep the law of Moses. I'm not preaching to be able to affirm Judaism and your misunderstanding of what true power is. I'm not preaching anything about the flesh and about religion in general. I'm preaching Christ and the crucifixion that was foreordained so that we can be obedient. And we can be obedient unto it before it is everlasting too late. Look at what Peter says, repent, ye therefore, and be converted. Repent that your sins might be blotted out. Why do your sins need to be blotted out? Well, because it says in verse number 17, and now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as also did your rulers. What did you do? You took him and you crucified him with wicked hands. Acts 2:23. Therefore, let everybody in Israel actually know this, Acts 2 and verse number 36, that same Jesus whom you crucified, Jesus of Nazareth, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? That same Jesus which you despised and you hated and you spit on and you put a crown of thorns into his skull and that you scourged and that you whipped and that you laid a crucifixion bar off and told him to be able to walk it up to Golgotha as he is so beaten and exhausted that he can't make it up. That same Jesus that you mocked and put a purple robe around. That same Jesus that you took a scepter and bowed and mocked him and struck him upside the skull. That same Jesus, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And this is what we preach, and this is what we proclaim. I don't mind suffering persecution for what I preach, as long as what I preach is the cross of Jesus Christ. We have to draw to a close before we give the Savior's invitation. But consider for your reference 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 1. In 1 Peter the 4th chapter and verse number 1, as you decide to give your life to the Lord, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Because he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. We have to be able to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. Christ aligns, breaking down, as it were, drops of sweat as blood from his brow, praying to the Father as he is preparing to go to the cross. Mark 14:36, Abba, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. As impossible as it was for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins, it would have been impossible for Christ not to go to the cross to fulfill the scriptures. Because the only thing that was going to please God for our sins to be remitted was our Savior and our Savior crucified. He hung up for 6 long hours as they taunted him, saying, "If you're truly the Son of God, come down." And now we have a message to preach and proclaim for you to obey before it is everlasting too late, for you to make the suffering of the Son of God, which was foreordained before one element of dust was created in this universe, for you to make that all worthwhile by your decision to be baptized and be washed in his blood. You come hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The manner in which he died and suffered demonstrates how God loves you. God commendeth, Romans chapter 5, his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners without strength, Christ in due time died for the ungodly. That is the message that we preach about how Christ died. And Jesus himself said in John 3:14, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must also the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses put a snake on a pole and hung it up, and they had to look at it in order for the plague to be lifted. We have to look by faith on Christ at that cross and understand everything God is doing in our lives so that we can obey the gospel and that we can be washed in that wonderful blood. He said, "You'll know that I'm he when I'm lifted up," John 8:28. And he said, if I be lifted up, John 12:32, from the earth, I'll draw unto all men unto me. He's drawing you this evening. Will you believe? Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." You've got to acknowledge the Son in order to honor the Father, 1 John 2:23. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is rewarded those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. You have to be willing to repent of your sins. Acts 17:30, God used to wink at idolatry in reference to the nations, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent because he sent his Son, can you imagine? And that he has given assurance to all men, and that he has risen his Son from the dead. So he's also going to send his Son back to be able to judge the world in righteousness. You come this evening. I don't care where you are throughout the land, but you come this evening to be able to confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue. You're going to have to confess before men, Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, citing the very scripture in Isaiah 28:16 about the cross, that whoever believeth on him shall not be confounded, shall not be ashamed. You need to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And finally, you have to be baptized. And this baptism, Romans 6:3, know you not that as many of us have been baptized where? Into his death. His crucifixion. That's why Paul would say in Galatians 3:20, I'm not worried about suffering persecution because I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Know you not that as many of us have been baptized into his death. His baptism is not the end of the story. We're buried with him in baptism. But we're risen. And we're risen in the newness of life. And if we are therefore been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the newness of his resurrection. And your existence in the Church of Christ is going to be predicated on you denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Christ. Let us suffer persecution for what we preach. Not persecution as an evildoer, a busybody, a thief, or murder, but to be a cross preacher, you ought to be willing to suffer and to be able to show Jew and Gentile alike Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. May God bless you, and may God keep you. I'll turn it over now back into the hands of the brethren.